I'm Jay, I'm an addict. And I want to open this workshop with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change me, the prayers to change the things that change me, the wisdom to know the difference. All right, welcome everyone. I'm Jay, I am an addict, and there weren't any announcements. It says to read them, but there weren't any. So we've asked Tori to come up and read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. Oh, we asked Tori to come up and read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program.
Hello, I'm Tori and I'm an addict. I'm here from Atlanta, Georgia. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It is a nonprofit fellowship of society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We're not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religion, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We're not interested in what or how much you use, or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experiences that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
All right, and we asked Allie from Southern Cal to come up and read Why Are We Here?
My name is Allie and I am an addict. Southern California, West End. Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we thought we had lost all power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail, sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to Narcotics Anonymous, we realized that we were sick people. We suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested, and then at some time recovery is impossible.
All right. And at this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Sandy M. from Florida.
Oh, gosh. I'm Sandy. I'm an addict. Wow. And I don't know how entirely ready I am to share with you, but I'm sure before this is over with, I will be. I am grateful that the committee invited me to share. I'm grateful now, but I wasn't grateful when they said, would you share in the workshop? because my idea of coming here was, I'm going to have so much fun. I'm not going to have to worry about doing anything other than just soaking everything in. And I said, yeah. So I was talking to my husband, and he said, well, why did you say yes? I said, because saying no would have been like saying I want to use. Because just for today, I believe I'm being a good NA citizen. Okay, and a good NA citizen is when the fellowship wants me to do something and I can do it, I have no good reason to say no. So thank you for letting me share. I'm from the Florida region, the Heartland area, and my home group is just for Thursdays. And I want to, you know, I was thinking about normally when becoming entirely ready comes up, automatically the thought is the sixth step. But I came to realize over a period of time that becoming entirely ready started to happen for me long before I ever got to the sixth step, long before I ever got to the point where I knew I had had enough, long before I picked up the first mind, mood, altering, whatever that was, be it man, chemical, beast, or food. Becoming entirely ready, just like the disease of addiction doesn't, I didn't become an addict overnight, the disease of addiction does not create havoc overnight. Becoming entirely ready didn't happen overnight, and it didn't just start when I came into the rooms. It was a process. And since I've been here, I've learned a couple of things for myself, and what I share is simply what I've learned for myself, that I have to get to a point where I recognize one fact first, and that was that I am an addict. I have a disease of addiction. Fact. I had to come to another awareness in my life, and that was to believe that. And then I had to get to a point where there was a process that could take place, but only through some action. And the first action of becoming entirely ready when I first got here was just not picking up. That started it. But long before that, I had placed myself in a blanket of denial. You know how when you get a really nice wool garment, and it's real good wool, it's soft, you know, it feels real nice on your body, it's not itchy or anything. That's how my blanket started out. You know, it was this veil of denial that said, that happens to other people. Addiction happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. It couldn't possibly happen to me. I went to college. It couldn't possibly happen to me. I had a job, a car. It couldn't possibly happen to me. I had profit sharing. This warm cushion, this blanket of denial that started out, you know, that was wrapping me in this, I'm better than them because I haven't pawned anything yet. And over a period of time, when the performance started to decline, when the profit sharing was gone, when everything pawnable was pawned, that blanket got scratchy and desperation started to set in. one would think that I would have gone, whoa, there's something not right about this picture. Let me see. Before I used, I could put gas in my car. After I used, I hired out my car. What's wrong with this picture? Becoming entirely ready. I had to, when I got to that point, start looking at something's not right. But I couldn't put my finger on what it was. Something nice happens when, and I can say it's nice now, but when it was happening to me at the time, I just thought, this is absolutely unbelievable. Something nice starts to happen when a bottom is rising up. Because I don't believe bottoms go down. I believe a bottom rises up to introduce itself to me and say, hey, this is your life and welcome to it. This is your life. I'm here to show you just what mire looks like, but I gotta lift it up for you to see it. Something nice happens when a bottom is rising up and getting me to the point where I am entirely ready to take some action to get into a process, because the disease of addiction is a process. Recovery is also a process, and neither of those things happen overnight, and I gotta be in a state. I gotta be, and this is just for me, I gotta be in the position for help to come my way, to either one, introduce me to my bottom, or introduce me to the process of recovery so that I can change. I remember, and I'm gonna go real quick through this identification thing, but I remember the very last night where I said a prayer that was totally sincere. I was in the dark. I was waiting for my partner to return with my vital needs. And I couldn't have the lights on because everybody knows once you get to that point, there's absolutely nothing you want to see. So I was waiting in the dark, and I remember closing my eyes and saying, God, please help me. I cannot do this anymore. And of course I did, because that's what we do before we know the truth. Which is, I don't have to use one day at a time, even when I want to, but I didn't know that. Within that week, a series of events started to take place that helped me become entirely ready to embrace the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, to embrace the fact that I have the disease of addiction, to embrace the belief that recovery is possible. My employer said, there's something wrong with you. I said, what took you so long to notice? I mean, my goodness, I was a walking advertisement for how to stay thin. Anyway, I think you understand. So I was sent away, like many of us are. Some are sent to treatment. Some are sent to places that where the doors bang. But either way, I was sent away. And something, I remember when I was in treatment that I had been to an NA meeting before. It's wild. I got clean in 1987. But the process of becoming entirely ready for me started in 1985, and I didn't even know it. Because I went to an NA meeting in 1985 in a little basement in St. Petersburg, Florida. It was on the third step, and of course they said, do we have anyone attending their first NA meeting? And the person near me raised their hand, and they said they were an addict, and I looked and I said, I'm not saying that. You think I'm an addict? The person said, Only you can say you're an addict. I said, well, I'm not saying it. Because I was not entirely ready. I was not even remotely ready, but the God of my understanding was positioning me so that my character defects could rise up and slap me in the forehead, you know, so that I could be granted a healing. But I said, well, I'm not going to say it. I got literature. They hugged me. I was closed off real tight. But I remember way in the recesses of my mind things that were said in that meeting. Now, what is that about? What is the power that will permeate? I mean, it will just dig into the disease when I'm in the midst of my disease, after I've heard the ENA message, and whisper to me, there's something else out there for you. There's something else out there for you. You don't have to do this. That's becoming entirely ready. Knowing that the God of my understanding that I didn't understand at the time was gently pushing me towards Narcotics Anonymous. Things started to happen. Before I knew it, I was here. Wondering at the same time, how did I get here? You know, was it the chemical? How did I get here? I believe I was born an addict, and I believe the God of my understanding knew that I could only survive by being prepared to come into these rooms. Because prior to coming here, while I can say, oh, I've been to college, oh, I had a job, my living skills, and I'm not talking about knowing how to pay bills, I'm talking about living skills as it relates to understanding my connection with other people, accepting my feelings, accepting not only my liabilities and my assets, because nothing was ever my fault, and sometimes nothing is still ever my fault. You can ask my husband. I'm like, no, 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 and what don't you understand about no? My ability to connect with people on a very sincere level was sorely lacking. I could go through the mechanics of being sociable. I could go through the mechanics of pretending that I really understood where you were coming from. But until I went through the horrors of the disease of addiction and then actually came into these rooms, that's when I was introduced to empathy, like Chuck was talking about the other day. I didn't think that I was like you when I first got here, because my first use was at the age of 22. I got clean at 32. I am 50 now. I would have never thought in a million years that I would be here and happy. Because I wasn't happy when I got here. I thought this was the last train at the station. But what it turned out to be, not an express, but a local. Because within this fellowship, you know how a local, you keep stopping, oh Lord, how many people getting on the bus, stopping, oh Lord, if you lived in the city, you know how a local goes. You think, am I ever going to get home? And then you got to transfer. It's okay to be on the local in Narcotics Anonymous because where am I trying to race to? I don't need the express. I had the express. And knowing that, and knowing that the local is okay, that also keeps me entirely ready. It keeps me in the process because it's like the waves coming in and out, you know, an easy flow. You do a little, you first you figure out a little bit, you back up, you make a little bit of mistakes, you flow back in a little bit, practice what you learn, you go, you know, that's how life goes. And I thought it was a straight line from point A to point Z. Let's get there real fast. I'm going to learn it real quick, and I'm ready to roll. It's a process. And as long as I understand that it's a process, I believe I got a chance. I believe that as long as I understand that it is a process, I got a chance of staying clean another day. Because this is a fact. I am an addict. I'll stay clean if I don't pick up one day at a time. I have a disease of addiction, which is, there is no known cure, but the basic text says it is not a hopeless condition. How magnificent is that? Because when I got here, I thought it was a hopeless condition. But before I could get the hope, I had to go through this thing, this process of, okay, how do I get into a state of recovery? They said to me, Sandy, when you go to a meeting, you raise your hand and you say, my name is Sandy and I'm an addict. Sandy, you go to 90 meetings in 90 days. If there's anyone here who is new, I mean, some things are just so basic that, you know what, it's so basic that I can forget it because I'm looking for this huge epiphany, this thing that's going to be a silver bullet or this bell ringer that's going to go, oh, I know the answer, but real simple stuff. Don't pick up, go to meetings, get a home group, get a sponsor, get involved, work the steps. They told me that. That was becoming entirely ready for this process of recovery to take hold of me. Because I didn't feel embraced by your love when I got here. Because for me, when I got here, love felt like pain. And pain was so familiar that I didn't know if this was a good thing. I didn't want to be hugged. And I try to remember that when new people come in too, that I had to become entirely ready to accept the love that was being given so freely in this fellowship. And that was learning how to have people hug me, touch me, in a sane kind of way, you know. This is a nice place to be. When I was first coming over here today, I told my friend Don, I said, you know what, I am so nervous I could faint. I am so nervous. I was so nervous that my throat got so dry that blanket that I was talking about, that wool blanket, I felt like I was swallowing it, you know. But I'm glad to be here because when I really look at what's happening, this is really just a larger version of my home group. You know, every face in here looks like somebody I've seen before. It blows me away. You know, you act just like people in Florida. I wonder if that's because you are addicts, but... But again, and I'm just about done here. I guess what I really wanted to share in closing is that I had to remember the easy does it, and this is not fast-paced recovery. There is no way I could come in here and think that, and this is for me, because my approach initially to recovery was to take it on as though it were an assignment. You know, if I read the book, if I do the writing, then I should understand recovery. It starts from the inside. But in order for that inside part to come out to you, I got to go through a series of life events. And in understanding that, for me, I had to go through some bad times and some really good times. But before I got to the good times, I went through a lot of bad times in recovery. You know, not being able to have financial manageability in my life, not understanding that if you wait 8 years before you deal with the IRS, they deal with you. You know, those are some things that happen. We just don't walk in here and go to Dillard's, get a new pair of shoes, and everything's okay. You know, there's some baggage that comes in where I have to become entirely ready to accept the wreckage of my past, the wreckage of my present, and take some action, which is the process of doing something different, which takes me all the way back to acceptance, which takes me all the way back to what? Doing something different? Not insanity, but being restored to a place where I believe that if I do something different because of the experience I've had in trying things differently, the results have been quite favorable, or at least favorable to the point that I can live with them. I have to get to that, because life still happens in recovery. My approach to it is different. Life still happens. You know, people still die. My family members and I sometimes still don't get along. Sometimes I'm not the best employee in the workplace. Sometimes I'm not the most spiritual NA citizen. But that's a part of life. That's a part of learning. And I had to, for me, understand that that was just as much a part, that is just as much a part of the recovery process as not picking up. Because I could not pick up day in, day out, and not learn anything other than not picking up day in, day out. We all can do that. Did it today. We're doing it right now. What am I going to do with the rest of my day where I have to live in my own skin? That's where the rubber meets the road. So I'm happy to know today that I do understand that it's a process. I'm glad it is a process and not an express. And I think I'm just about done. And I really appreciate you listening, allowing me to share, and keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandy. Now I'd like to introduce Ben from Wheaton.
Good morning, everyone. I'm an addict named Ben. First of all, I'd like to thank the WCNA for asking me to speak. They have a beautiful way of asking you to speak. You know, they called me at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And I hung up the phone. The first thing I said was, yeah. You know, I didn't know what it, now I'm saying, so who called me about speaking? And I had to track down who it was that asked me to speak. And I said, what am I speaking on? So here I am, you know. But my story is no different than anybody else's in this room. You know, I've used for a long time. And I used at a young age, and it got clean at an old age, so I say. You know, for me it was old. I started using drugs at the age of almost 11, and I stopped using at the age of 35. It wasn't till I got out, sort of like started visiting the West Coast, that I see what old was. You know, old addicts. You know, and this is how my story goes. I came, you know, I like to say I was ready when I first took my first drug. I was on the journey to becoming ready. But when I walked in these rooms, and a lot of people that are here know me, I really felt truly hopeless. I've used, you know, my teenage years. I was away. I've been in many numbers of therapeutic communities, and I always thought I had the willingness to change, you know, to stop using, but I never did, you know. This was my journey. It wasn't until I heard of Narcotics Anonymous in 1982. They were having a world convention in New York. They were preparing for it, and I was in my final detox. You know, and these guys came up and they were telling me about, you never have to use again. You know, never. And I never heard that before. You know, in all the years that I've used, I've always heard, you know, I can't stay clean. You know, it's impossible to stay clean. Nobody's clean. You know, and if you were clean, I didn't want to hang out with you. Not that I, you know, later on did I realize you didn't want to be with me. Because I was using. You know, and I made a lot of, geographic moves in my years of using, and I changed from friends to friends, you know. And what happened a lot of times was that I would go with the people that were staying clean, like, you know, and they would start using, and I say, oh God, you know, it's impossible to stay clean. But when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, used people showed me how to stay clean. And that's all I came here for, was to stay clean. Nothing else but to stay clean. And after like about close to 9 months clean, I met this gentleman who started to talk about steps. You know, I'm originally from New York. I moved to Pennsylvania just about 13 years ago. Okay? And I was spoiled. I mean, I was spoiled with N.A. when I came around. You know, you walked out my door, anywhere I went, there was a meeting. You know, with 1 year clean, I felt like, you know, a new person, you know. But the people back home in New York had this desire to stop using, all of them. You know, they were one sicker than the other. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more sicker than being clean and not working the 12 steps. Okay, people would talk about these 12 steps, you know, and I thought I read these shades and these things on the wall, you know, admitting that we were powerless, you know, over my disease, you know, and I said, I got no disease, you know, I'm fine, and it wasn't only until I started getting to the steps that I realized how deep this disease of addiction really goes, and, I was listening to Sandy talking about the journey, you know, and it's a process. And that's what recovery is to me. It's a process, you know. And the 12 steps is what keeps me in that process, you know. When I started to get into the steps, I didn't realize how beautiful the journey was going to be and also how painful it was going to be, you know. And I used to call up my sponsor and I used to say, I had to come here to write, you know. I had to come here to write. You know, you're giving me, he says, listen, if you want me to sponsor you, this is the journey and this is what you need to be doing. You know, and he had something, and a lot of people that he was hanging out with had things that I wanted, you know, and I didn't know how to go about getting it there, okay? And for me, I was in a lot of pain my first 2 years of coming around to these meetings. You know, I mean, I was a self-full, one-line guy. You know, my sponsor had a lot of patience with me, a lot of patience. You know, and people would say to me, "Ben, you know, you can't be doing these things clean. You just can't be doing them." You know, I said, "Yeah, but I ain't using. That's all I came here for." You know, God sees fit that I'm not using. He says, "Well, let me tell you, if you don't start doing what you're supposed to be doing, you ain't going to be around here much longer." And that sort of like scared me, you know, because I've seen a lot of people relapsing and never coming back to these rooms, you know, and I didn't want to be one of those people. So my sponsor said to me one day, "You know, get on your knees and pray a little bit." You know, when I heard pray, you know, right away I immediately connected with religion. You know, and that always scared me, you know, from being brought up Catholic and being in a little Catholic school as a young kid, you know, getting whipped by the penguins, which they, you know, the nuns. You know, I mean, really, I had a serious resentment. I came in here with a lot of anger. I came in here with a lot of resentments, you know. The steps is what took me to where I am today. You know, and that's what I need to be talking about, the process, you know, becoming willing, you know, and ready to do what I have to do to stay clean one more day, you know. I started to realize that, you know, something, I couldn't be selfishness, you know, I couldn't be full of anger, you know, and rage, you know, and having resentments if I was going to allow this program to do for me what it said that it would do if I would stay clean and work the 12 steps, you know. And what happened for me was, it's funny because Sandy was talking about the IRS and it was like, boom, you know. 10 years clean. Let me just back up a little bit. I remember coming in here with nothing, like I said. And through the first 10 years of my recovery, God has seen fit to put a lot of great things in my life. And I woke up one morning and they were like almost gone. I said, this can't be happening. I'm not using, you know. But I realized that I was powerless over the way the economy was going. And I had owed a lot of money to the IRS. You know, and I said, "Listen, you know," and this was like one of my major things. And I took a step back and I started to write about, you know, being grateful. See, because I came in here with nothing, and in 10 years, this program has given me a great deal. You know, so if I lost it, it meant that I wasn't supposed to have it at that time. You know, but I didn't want to accept that. You know, I just didn't want to accept it. So I started to write, and this went on, you know, I tried to make deals with them, you know, and I was scared. I said, "Oh, man, these guys, they're going to put me in jail." There's nothing like being a clean addict and being in jail, you know, especially when you're home. And I'm going to show you how God sees this fit. When I moved out of New York to Pennsylvania, I didn't know about my area at the time, had meetings. And I came there, there was no NA. And I was even more scared. You know, that fear set in. You know, I'm used to going out of my house, walk a block, there's a meeting. Get on a bus, there's a meeting. Go to the city, there's a meeting. You know, you walk the streets, there's people out there that you know from the rooms. I'm up here in the woods, you know, and I'm saying to myself, and I'm calling my sponsor, says, "You know something? There's another fellowship here, and I ain't going there." So he says, "Well, why don't you just start it? Start a meeting." I said, "But where, how am I going to start?" I said, "At a meeting alone?" He says, "Well, people that were here before you did it." And you know, it started to click, and I started making phone calls to New York, and some of my dearest friends were driving up and coming to the meetings to support my one meeting, our one meeting we had, you know? And we called that meeting let's get honest. Because I was going to sponsor everybody up there. I was going to sponsor everybody. You know? I tell you, you know, and my sponsors better tell God your plans, you know? And I did, but it was a few months, you know, the word got around and people started to come and support. See, but the point I'm saying is that fear, I thought I had let go of that fear, you know, and allowing God to work in my life. But I realized that, you know, I had to start doing some more writing. And I did. And I learned, you know, that it's okay to be away from your base, that their comfort zone. You know, it's okay to do that today. But I had to do a lot of work to reach out and find people that were members of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and for me, Narcotics Anonymous is the only place I go from day one till today. Because we do recover here. I'm looking over here. You know, if you could be up here and just look and see the people, you know, I'm saying, wow, Narcotics Anonymous, we do recover. You know, I have no reason to go no place else. Okay? And if I did, I think my sponsor would tell me to go find another sponsor. You know, and I've been with this sponsor for a long time. Okay? You know, so when he tells me, when he suggests, I'm right, when he tells me something, I ain't gonna, you know, when he tells me to do something, I do it. There's no questions asked him, because I learned, why argue? Why debate it? I'm going to do it anyway. You know, if I don't want to write about it, I'm going to do it anyway. You know? And I've learned a lot of things in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I've learned how to live life on life's terms. I've learned how to accept God. You know, I've learned how to accept hugs. You know, I've learned that I can't change people. I can only change me. You know, but I, as long as I stay in that process, you know, I have a great shot of staying clean just for today and just for one more day, you know. But I believe in my heart that God has given me the greatest gift, which is Narcotics Anonymous. And Narcotics Anonymous has given me a gift, which was the 12 steps. And between these two things, you know, I try to work my way closer to God, okay? And I've learned that, you know, recovery is not sexually transmitted. I learned that the hard way. You know, it's about being honest up here. It's about, you know, the change, you know. And I've learned that, you know. I've learned, you know, to be faithful in a relationship. That was another big scary thing for me that I had to learn, you know. Before I came into the rooms, I went to two marriages. You know, I had no clean reference point. So when my wife now asked me to marry her, I picked up the phone right away. You know, and I discussed with my sponsor. And I got on a plane, and I flew out to the West Coast. And, we discussed it. And he's very simple. He just says, well, what happens if it, you know, I said, what happens if it doesn't work? He said, what happens? You know, you get divorced. You know, you don't have to use. You know, it's like so simple that this addict can complicate everything. You know, it's that simple. It's that fear of being able to face things, you know, without using. You know, and I still face fear. You know, and it's still scary sometimes. You know, but I've learned that that's because I don't have God present with me. You know, when I start feeling all this kind of fear. You know, I like to kid, I like to joke, I like to have a lot of fun in my recovery. Because I was a miserable guy for 26 years, you know. And I want to say I was a miserable guy the first year that I came into these rooms. But I wouldn't let nobody know that either. Okay, I always had this fake smile on my face. People, oh, we love you, Ben, yeah, love me, okay. You know, and I love when people say to me, this too shall pass, Ben. You know, I'm going through it. It ain't passing fast enough. You know, but you know, again, you know, it's the process. It's what I'm learning from this process. You know, I don't get into too many things that makes me sick anymore. You know, I try not to repeat the same insanity. Okay? I love my fellowship in Pennsylvania, you know. I still do my coffee commitment. They all say I make the greatest coffee in town over there. You know, but my home group, there's a lot of newcomers coming here. You know, and they're young. They're really young. And it reminds me of me when I came in. You know, all these old guys. You know what I'm saying? Man, what the hell do you know? You know, that was my attitude. What do you know? What do you know? You know, you're out here, I'm over here, you know what I mean? Everything's roses on the other side of the street. You know, but I've learned that, you know, something, if I'm going to keep my recovery, okay, and if I'm going to work closer to being with God, you know, I have to be with newcomers. That's, you know, I work on patience with that. Work on patience because, you know, I see myself in them, you know. You look at the woman, you know, and I tell them, listen, you got to learn to love them with your clothes on, you know. Take it from an old guy, you know. But it's the truth, though. It's the truth, you know. I became willing and ready, entirely ready, to give all these defects of mine up, you know. And sometimes they're still there, you know. And I'm laying down, or I'm sitting down, or I'm praying, you know. I've learned a great thing, you know. I'm powerless over the first thought that comes to my mind, but I'm not powerless over how I react to it, or how I verbally say it, you know, because I could be a nasty guy. And I could be an arrogant guy, too, you know, and I try not to do that today, you know. And when people get arrogant and nasty with me, newcomers, you know, I just say, I was just like them. I was just like them. I've learned to become more and more open-minded to suggestions, even from people that are just coming. You know, when I was flying out earlier last week, I had to go to a wedding, you know, for a dear friend. There were some people I haven't seen in a while, you know, and I was looking at them, and I was hearing their stories. They were telling me, you know, what they were going through. And I said, you know, it's like they keep coming back no matter what happens. They keep showing up. You know, they suit up and show up. And that's where I want to be. That's where that's my daily goal, you know, is to keep showing up no matter what happens in life. You know, but you got to be entirely ready to surrender, you know, on a daily basis. You know, I always say this here, my very first time I had to speak at a convention, I was told, you know, you go and you kneel and you try to make your contact with God, you know what I mean? And say it. And I remember kneeling down, and I went into the bathroom, and I woke up, I had two wet knees, you know, and I was standing there, I was going, and people were looking at me, you know. But the reason why I say that is because, you know, when I'm in pain, I don't care where I am, I'll get to my knees and they start to remove this pain, you know, and to guide me in what I need to be doing, you know. I'm so great that a lot of people from my area here, you know, I don't know them that well, you know, because I don't go up to that part of my area to meetings, but because I, you know, I'm like a control guy at times. I want to make sure my meetings over here close to me are running right, you know. Listen, I can't be any more honest than that, you know. It's like our predecessors worked hard to get where we are today, you know. And to get a meeting going, you know, down where I am, it's not easy. It's really not easy. There's no public transportation, you know. If you don't drive, you ain't going nowhere unless somebody picks you up, you know. I went through that thing. I lost my license in recovery, and I was driving without a license, you know. And my sponsor says, what are you, crazy? You know, put the car away. I said, yeah, right, okay. You know. And you know, one more time, I had to go down to the Department of Motor Vehicle and try to, you know, and really say this. I need my vehicle, my license to go back and forth to work, you know. And they did. See, it's like if you let people know where you're at and you ask, you know, God will see fit to take care of you. Okay. And what happened right after that was that a fella that comes to my home group works right near me. So he picks me up in the morning and drives me off for work now. You know, he used to do that. But these are all things in my recovery, you know, I used like everybody else here. There was no stopping me. You know, I hated myself what I became. And I'm happy to be what I am today. Although, you know, I may not be the person I would like to be. But I'm not the person I was when I walked in here 22 years ago. So, you know, September 17th, I'll be celebrating 22 years. Okay? You know, it's the thing about it all is that I couldn't say 22 days, 22 hours. That's a lie. 22 hours I could have stood clean. Sick, but I could have stood clean. You know, 22 days, it took me about 5 months to get 90 meetings under my belt when I first came around because the fellowship was starting to go. And I'm very grateful for those that were there before me. And today I'm still grateful for those that are here. When you said, you know, at the end of it, we pray for the still sick and suffering addicts. That was me you prayed for. So, you know, I carry on with the way I was taught. Okay? But, again, you know, sometimes you get into this comfort zone where you don't want to let go. You just don't want to let go. I've been blessed to meet a lot of beautiful people in this program. I've truly been blessed. People that have a program, okay? And people that I'm not afraid to tell them what I'm going through, regardless how much. See, sometimes people have time and they feel like, you know, they can't ask people for help. You know? So I thought, you know, but I do. You know, when I'm hurting, like I said before, when I'm hurting, I look for guidance. You know, my sponsor always says, you know, just keep working through the 12 steps. They will keep you in that process. You know, and I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy it. And sometimes I may not like the results, but I enjoy it, you know, because it's no longer the pain that I was used to. This is all pain that allows me to grow one day at a time. You know, I was planning on coming out here with my wife and my daughter, and somehow things didn't work out the way it was supposed to, so I came out to the journey on myself, you know, and I've been having a wild time, you know, hanging out with all the guys, okay, you know, and I have a great deal of respect for the women in this fellowship, okay, I have a great deal of respect for the men in this fellowship, regardless of what it is, you know. I never thought that I would be able to sit up here or stand up here and tell people what I am, how I am, what I did, what I didn't do, you know. But I've grown. Every year I stay clean, that process makes me grow a little better, a little more inside, you know. And I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous is my home. It's my home. You don't care what I have, what I don't have, what I look like, what I don't look like. You know, I love coming to Narcotics Anonymous because this is the only place I can come and get a lot of hugs. A lot of hugs. Outside of my home, you know, my wife and my daughter. You know, I'm going through a thing now. I have a 12-year-old daughter. And I'm like concentrating on when do I have to tell her about my lifestyle, you know, what I was before. Up in my area, there's a lot of drugs like every other area, you know. She's getting to that age now where, like, you know, I don't want to let go. And I pray on that one, you know, but I have to let go, you know. And my wife says, you know, you're going to have to tell her about yourself. I said, you think she don't already know what all these NA things in my house, these books, is this here? I'm always going to the convention, I'm going here. I said, don't you think she knows? No, but, you know. And what happened is there was a person that goes to meetings in my area whose daughter goes to school with my daughter. And, you know, I do things the NA way. You know, our traditions are there for a reason. Okay? We got 12 steps. I only use the NA language. That's for me. Okay? We had words. I had to make an amends to this person. And what happened was that this woman tells my daughter, I don't think your father likes me. You know, my daughter says, how do you know my father? So, she says, from meetings. My daughter says, meetings, what kind of meetings? Well, that's your father. So I got kind of, you know, angry. You know, real angry. And I had to get on my knees and pray that, you know, I would do something to this person. So I wanted to get the coverage up to go talk to her nicely. So, you know, where do you come off saying something? Where's the anonymity? You know? Where's the anonymity? And she came out and said to me, anonymity. She said, there's no anonymity. I said, you know, I think you need to get back to meetings. Really. You know, she said something, and I said, I just better back off. And what happened was, I wind up telling the person, you know, I said, listen, I don't dislike you. I love you. When you try to hurt Narcotics Anonymous, then I get very angry. And that's, you know, she would bear that at the meetings. Okay? This is where we, you know, so I had to really, like, work on this year, you know, really work. And through the grace of God, she don't use, but she don't come to me, and that's on her, you know. But I know what I got to do when I get home, and that's what counts, what I got to do, see, to allow this process to continue working in my life. Okay, but getting back down on the road of the journey, you know, these are things that, you know, you never know what somebody else is going to do. Like I said, I'm only accountable for me, for my behavior, okay, and what happens. So, again, like I said, you know, I know what I have to do when I get home, you know. And I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be all right. I got to believe it. You know, I know that God didn't take me this far. So, you know, I'm just so grateful to be able to come out to Hawaii. Is that how you say it, Hawaii? New York is saying Hawaii, you know. Okay, you know, I haven't gotten the sun You know, because, you know, I hate speaking because you got to let people know, you know, who you are, what a dirtbag you are. But, I don't let people know that this time. You know, I just try to keep on the recovery process. I just want to thank everyone in here for coming early in the morning to hear me share, you know. Again, you know, I love you all, and thank you so much for supporting me today.
You guys want to thank Sandy and Ben one more time for sharing. Anybody know how long this workshop is? 12:30? Well, we got some time if anybody wants to come up and share, I guess. Or not. Anybody want to come up?
Hi, my name is Amanda. I'm an addict. Hi. I'm originally from Brazil, from Rio. But I live in San Francisco. I've been living in California for 3 years. And I just looked for this meeting. Thank you. Because when I got into the States, I relapsed. In San Diego, and that was like I was trying to work on the sixth step where we try to become entirely ready, and I was living with other Brazilians that were doing drugs, and then I relapsed because I have a hard time still in believing in the program. And I know that there are people that have this hard time too. Like, a lot of people tell us, oh, we have to work the steps and everything, but I have a hard time to believe that God can remove all my defects of character, because I had never seen anybody perfect in my life. So I said, like, God's not going to remove, why do I have to become entirely ready? And it's good to be here. And what I really wanted to do is to meet people that have, like, overcome the same thing that I'm going through. And I was clean for 3 years before I relapsed. I got clean in Brazil and everything. And, like, it was such a dream for the first 2 years. And I was in love with the program. And now what I have is, like, a hard time in believing that the seventh step and the sixth step. And it's incredible to meet people from everywhere, like, and it's all the same in Brazil and here and, like, California, whatever, no matter what we are, like, people just think the same way, addicts. And that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm sorry, I'm not following directions as usual. I'm supposed to close the meeting. Sorry. Is Liz still here? No? You read it? Come on up.
Aloha, my name is Cliff and I am an addict. And I recover in D.C. We do recover when at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as human beings. Either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? there seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Now we'll circle up and close the meeting with the third step prayer.